Blog Talk Radio.
After the death of Solomon, God divided the kingdom of Israel into two houses. There were 10 tribes in the northern kingdom known as the Lost Tribes of Israel. They were cast out into the world because of their great sin against God. However, God promised in the last days he would gather these lost tribes back to Israel before the return of our Lord. Unknowingly, some of the churches made up of these lost tribes known as the House of Ephraim. God is now calling them to prepare to come back home to the land he gave our fathers. The call to prepare has been sounded.
Well, welcome, Ephraimites, and shalom. This is your host, Sister Donna Deckard, and this is the House of Ephraim show on Tuesday, November the 15th, yes, and it's Teachers Tuesday, but first, a word from our announcer.
And now, from Cradle of Hope are some important announcements for you. This month, from Cradle of Hope is a must-have gift offer, the transition of the church. God has transitioned the church since the days of the book of Acts. Don't miss out on this last and greatest move of God. Jesus Christ is returning for a church full of power and glory. This transition will bring the church forward. Send a gift of $25 or more. Call today and get free shipping if you ask for the Transition of Church gift offer. Call 618-262-2810 or go online at jewishprophet.com. Send a gift of $25 or more and ask for the Transition of the Church gift offer.
Welcome back. This is your host, Sister Donna Deckard. I have a few announcements to make. First of all, I want to remind all of you, we will be having a quarterly in Fairfield, Illinois. Yep, the corn patch has been harvested for the fall, but we will be having a quarterly there in Fairfield, Illinois. That will be held January 13th, 14th, and the 15th. And I would appreciate if you would, because you know what? We've got the holidays coming up. We've got Thanksgiving will be here quickly, and then all of the Hanukkah and Christmas and New Year's, and the next thing you know, it's going to be time for quarterly. So if you plan to come, okay, if you would send in your registration, and you know what? If something happens and you can't come, we'll refund you your money. How do you like that? Okay, it'll be a win both ways. But if you will register so we know how many to purchase food for, it's $20 to cover the food cost, and children 11 to 6 are $10, 5 and under are free. And so if you would do that and get that registration in, that would be fantastic, and we would greatly appreciate it. Check out the itinerary page at www.jewishprophet.com. And that if you've never been before, there's a map on there to show you how to get to the facility. We have Sabbath Fellowship. It's available every Friday evening with Prophet Mark Reinbold on Zoom and also on our YouTube channel, Jewish Prophet. We also have available our Wednesday service, and that is held by myself, and it's available on that YouTube channel. We have Blog Talk Radio 5 days a week with the late Prophet Deckard and myself on this station. The other station has Prophet Gary Burpee on Tuesday, Prophet Greg Burpee on Thursdays. We are all teaching Prophet Deckard's materials. If you are interested, email us at cradle@jewishprophet.com. We will get back to you a spreadsheet so that you can know the links, the times, phone numbers, all that information that you need to participate. Well, we have been doing a series called Seize the Kingdom. Seize the Kingdom of God with force. You know what? We have to force ourselves into the kingdom. We have to force ourselves. Our flesh isn't just going to slide into the kingdom of God. We have to force ourselves. We have to force ourselves to pray. We have to force ourselves to study. We have to force ourselves to walk in faith. We have to do that. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. Put your strength and confidence in God. Isaiah 30, 15. You know, if we don't have our confidence in God, we're not operating in his kingdom. For this saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. In returning to him, in returning to God and rest, you will be saved. Once you know that you know that you know that you know that you are saved, once you know that you know that you know that God cares for you, once you know that you know that the promise that you're standing on is for you, you'll be saved. And you can, in quietness and confidence, have the strength to stand. But look at the rest of that verse. And ye would not. And ye would not. Prophet was speaking on the blog here either yesterday or last week, and talking about when God confronted him about his faith and believing him for something. And he said, you don't know whether you're believing or not believing today. Because you believe and then you don't believe and then you believe and you don't believe, and it just keeps going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. He said, you don't know if you're believing or not believing right now. And that's what happens to us. We're saying, oh, I'm believing God for something. I'm believing God for something. But then our mind kicks in. Or Satan shoots a dart of pain at you. Or somebody says something about how you look. I remember one time I was new at believing God for healing. And I was believing God for healing for something. And I was doing wonderful until I went home and my mother looked at me. And she looked at me and she goes, are you feeling okay? You don't look so good. And all of a sudden, all of my faith went out my window. I would not believe anymore because my mother said, you don't look good. Are you feeling okay? You must be sick. You see, in returning and rest, you'll be saved. In quietness and confidence, you'll find your strength. When you're believing, are you quiet about it? Do you have confidence in God? Can you quietly have confidence? I remember as a little girl, there would be times that I would be afraid, or I would have a bad dream, or I'd be worried about something. And I can remember, usually about midnight, I'd crawl out of bed and I'd go walking into Mom and Dad's room. And I always went over to Daddy's side of the bed. Usually I wasn't even stopped walking and he'd go, yes, what do you want? And I would begin to tell him, woo! And he'd get up and he'd take me and walk me into the kitchen, get me a drink of water, get me to stop crying, take me to the bed, sit down on the bed and tell me everything was going to be okay. And I would quiet down And I had confidence in my daddy that he knew everything would be okay. What about you? You find God's word and you begin to stand on it. You say, God, I believe your word right here. Right here, I believe this. I am going to stand in faith for this. Hallelujah. But then as time passes and you don't see the manifestation of what you're believing. And words of doubt begin to be spoken. Or maybe it's just the thoughts in your mind. And all of a sudden you lose the quietness. You lose the confidence in God's word. You lose your peace in what you're believing for. You have to put your strength and your confidence in him. In him. He has it under control. One of the sayings that I put on the pour paint that I have available says, God is waiting on you to believe. And I have that hanging up in my home. And every once in a while I walk by and I notice it. God is waiting on me to believe. And maybe I believed about that item last week. And maybe it's manifested and maybe it's not. But God's ready, not waiting on me to believe on the next item. But what if I have failed to, and I have lost my confidence and I've lost my quietness and my peace about something that I've been believing? Because how many of you know you can be believing God and sometimes it takes a while for it to manifest. And I read that. God's waiting on you to believe. And there's times when I get convicted. Yeah, God, I quit believing on that, didn't I? I started believing the thoughts in my mind. I started believing the doubt and unbelief. I started to believe the way that it looked, felt, sounded like. God's waiting on me to believe. And God's waiting on you to believe. That's what he's waiting on. But you have to. You have to seize it with force. You have to seize it and you have to become determined not to lose your confidence. Not to lose your peace in that situation. It's a battle. It's a battle. Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of whose might? Of his might. You see, it's not based on the power of us. Without him, we are filthy rags. We can do nothing without him. But we have to be strong in him and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the entire outfit. You have to put on the entirety of God's armor. One piece isn't going to work. You may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You see, the devil's out to kill, to steal, and to destroy from you and from me. And the only way you are going to overcome that is to put on the whole armor of God. For we wrestle not, verse 12, against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is a spiritual battle. It's not a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle. Whereon taken to you the whole armor of God that you'll be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, see if you've done all you know to do about a situation and you're still waiting on the manifestation. You've done it all. You've studied the Word of God. You're praying it and speaking it every day to get it down in your heart. You've confessed it. And you need to do what? It says here, having done all, just stand. Don't allow the doubt and unbelief in. But it's going to have to be what? It's a battle, and you are going to have to seize it by force. Stand therefore, verse 14, having your loins girt about with truth. You know what that means? You are going to have on the truth of God's word. You're going to have to know that you know that you know what God's word says about the situation. Have your loins girt about with truth. Have on the breastplate of righteousness. You got sin in your life? You can believe as long as you want to believe. But if you got sin in your life, ain't going to work. You've got to be walking in righteousness. Got to be walking in righteousness. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You are going to have to be at peace with God. You're going to have to understand what the gospel says about you. That you are a child of God if you have received Yeshua as your Lord and Savior. Have your feet be walking in the peace of the gospel. Above all, take on the shield of faith, wherein you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You're going to have faith. The Bible says have faith in God. You can't have faith in me. You can't have faith in your spouse. You can't have faith in somebody else. You can't even have faith in yourself. Have faith in God. Take on that shield of faith. And you will be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked. You can quench them all. There won't be anything too big, too hard that you can't stand and face for. Take on the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. Know that you're saved. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Remember what we talked about? Yeshua, when he was tempted, he taught us how to battle in the Spirit. You're going to swing that Word of God. You're going to speak it. And it's like a sword in that battle against principalities and powers of darkness. Put on that armor and then know how to use it. Verse 18. Praying always. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. In the Spirit, all prayer and supplication. You know what? I was raised in the Methodist church. Went to a Presbyterian for a while church. Went to a Baptist church. Was involved in a Christian church. And they all talked about prayer. They all talked about the importance of prayer. But you know, it wasn't until I got filled with the Holy Ghost, that I found out that there was the prayer of faith. I didn't know about the prayer of faith. Didn't know about it. And then I found Prophet Deckard. And he began to open up about structured prayer. And if you haven't ordered the series on structured prayer, and I know it's expensive. It's got 12 hours of study. 12 hours. Now, let me tell you something. Prophet was a man of prayer. Prophet knew how to change heaven and earth. And he spent 12 hours breaking down and explaining to us about prayer. And you are going to let the cost of that audio CD stop you from getting that information? Really? In fact, we actually have it discounted from what it should be. What do you think of that? We have it discounted. It should be $65. $65 is what it should be. Oh, Sister Donna, I can't afford it. Well, in Prophet's words, you do. You do what you want to do, don't you? You do what you want to do. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. There's different kinds of prayers. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all things. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. For I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. How many of you ever prayed for boldness? Here, the apostle is asking for them to pray for him to have boldness. He said, pray for me to have boldness, that I will speak what I ought to speak boldly. So you've got to force your way into the kingdom of God. You've got to force your way into the kingdom. And here even the apostle was saying, pray for me that I will speak boldly as I ought to speak. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, 25 and 26. Even I am he that blotteth out thy transgression. Remember I said you got to be walking in righteousness? God is the one that blots out your transgressions. Not the opinion of your spouse. Not the opinion of your neighbor. Not even your opinion. God is the one who blots out your transgressions. Your righteousness is in God. Your right standing is in him. What do? You have to ask forgiveness. He says, I am he that blots out your transgressions. But now listen to this. For my own sake. What? God blots out my transgressions for his sake? Gee, I thought he blotted them out for my sake. God blots out my transgressions for his own sake. Why? How many of you remember hearing prophets say, we're all God's God? You and I are all he has. And God needs us. He needs us to be walking in righteousness and holiness so that he can use us in the way that he predestinated you and I to be used. He said, I'm the one that blots out your transgressions for my own sake. But here, I want you to underline this next phrase, and will not remember thy sins. Let me tell you something. When I was young, I was a teenager. I had asked God to forgive me. But then, oh, Slewfoot, or just my own mind, I'd get to thinking about what I had done, the sin I had committed, and I began to feel unworthy. How many of you can say you felt unworthy? I began to feel unworthy, and darkness took advantage of that. And all of a sudden, I began to hear, you have committed the unpardonable sin. And I'm like, oh, you know, darkness loves to use that. Because, you know, if darkness can convince you that you've committed the sin that's unpardonable, that God won't forgive you of, then guess what? You can just go ahead and sin. God's not going to forgive you. You forget. You've committed the unpardonable sin. What you've done is not forgivable. So let's just go live in sin. Just live it up. Let's just live it up. And Satan's got you. He's out to kill you, to destroy you. And he's just weaseled his way into your thinking. And sure enough, I'm like, God, I've committed the unpardonable sin. And my life spiritually went downhill fast. And I can remember, I finally put some brakes on that downhill slide. And I was like, God, I want to live for you. And I remember it was summertime, and I went to a church camp. And I went to church camp, and I asked every pastor at that church camp, what is the unpardonable sin? And not a one of them could answer me. Well, that didn't help any. And finally, this one pastor looked at me and he said, honey, if you're that concerned about committing the unpardonable sin, he says, my guess is that you haven't. He gave me a spark of hope. He said, whatever it is, he said, you just believe God, you are forgiven. He said, you repent and you believe that you're forgiven. I did. I did that. You see, God said, I'm the one who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. And I'll not remember your sin anymore. You see, old Slewfoot had been bringing that past sin up to me for over a year. Look what you did! That wasn't Christian! You have committed the unpardonable sin. And I backslid for over a year. But at that church camp, I went down to the altar and I repented one more time. I repented for that sin and I repented for the backsliding. I didn't know this scripture, that God would not remember my sin once he has forgiven me for it. Wow. Wow. He said, I have the one who blots out your transgression for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Look at the next verse. He said, put me to remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. What do you want us to, what does God want you to remember? What does God want you to remind him of? Oh, God, do you remember that sin? No, that's not what he wants. He said, you see, he blotted it out. He didn't remember. It's not there anymore. God wants you to put him to remembrance his promises. That's what he wants you to put him to remembrance to. Plead together. Declare that you may be justified. Force your way into the kingdom. Forcing your way into the kingdom. God. Your word says that I am the head and not the tail. God, your word says you have plans for me that are good. Pray together. You may be justified. Pray together. That you may be justified. Back up to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, 18 and 19. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they will be as wool. Now I want you to understand this. If you will be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. But you see, there's conditions, isn't there? You have to be willing and obedient. Some of us are obedient but not willing. Some of us are willing but not obedient. You've got to be willing and obedient. And then it's going to happen. You're going to have to be obedient to put on that word, armor of God. You're going to have to be obedient to spend that time in communication with God. Come, let us reason together, he said. Come talk to me. Let's have a conversation. But no, God, I'm too busy to pray. I don't have time. You have to be willing and obedient. Yekarabashika. Yekarabashika. You've been willing to pray, but you haven't been obedient. You've let the devil steal from you. You've let the devil steal from you. I remember when we first started having quarterly, the crowd was small enough that Prophet was able to, after the meetings, he'd sit out in the fellowship area and talk to people. They got to fellowship. They got to have conversations with him. They got to ask questions. And I can remember the last quarterly. Somebody had spent more time taking more of Prophet's time than was their share. And there were people who had to go home, had planes to meet or whatever, and they didn't get their opportunity with the Prophet. And the Lord said, you're not going to be able to sit out there anymore. It was such a privilege. And the people were so sad when that wasn't available. But you see, we can talk to the Father every day. We can talk to him, and he is spirit. It doesn't matter how many of us are sitting down to talk to him at 6 a.m. in the morning, Central Time. He has time, and he can be with each and every one of us because he's omnipresent. He says, come, let us reason together. When you sit down to have prayer with the Father, the first thing to do is to get rid of that sin. Repent for those sins that you know and the ones you don't know. Open that door of conversation with him. Sister Donna, you just don't know my schedule. No, I don't know your schedule. I don't know your schedule, but I don't need to know your schedule. You know why? God told me one time, my schedule was so full. I was so busy, 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 busy. I was like Martha. I was busy about nothing. And God told me one day I was talking to somebody and telling them how busy I was, and I just felt overwhelmed by how busy I was. God spoke to me in that still small voice. And he said, you have as many hours as everybody else. You have as much time as anybody else. We all have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. We all have the same amount of time. It is what we are willing and obedient to spend that time doing. And you know what I found out? It's a savings of my time to spend time with the Lord. Because if I will take that time, once I learn to take that time in the morning, pray and spend time with the Father, guess what? The rest of my day, all that time, there would be less emergencies that would take extra time. There would be things that would fall together in time-saving increments. You see, God wants you to succeed. God wants you to succeed. But you are going to have to, you're going to have to be willing and obedient. Be willing and obedient to sit down and have conversation with God. Take his word and say, God, right here your word says this. Declare thou. Your word says. You may be justified. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 46 through 49. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Ouch. Can you say ouch? Why do you call him Lord, but you don't do the things he says? Why do you call him God, but you won't do what he says? Why do you call him Lord, but you're not willing and obedient to what he says? Ouch. 47. Whosoever, say I'm a whosoever. Whosoever cometh to me and hears my sayings and doeth them. See, it takes more than just hearing. You are hearing right now as you're listening to this blog. You are hearing this sermon about seizing the kingdom of God with authority. But do you apply it to your life? Or do you just sit there and say, amen? Preach it, Sister Donna. You tell them. My good-for-nothing spouse needs to hear that sermon. No, they don't. You're the one hearing it. You need to hear this. You need to apply it. And why don't you start by stop calling your spouse a good-for-nothing? You chose them. You married them. The words have power. Whosoever cometh to me and hears my sayings and do them, I will show you to whom he is like. So Yeshua says, I want to show you what you're like when you do my sayings. He's like a man that builds a house and digs it deep and lays the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against the house, it could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. See, if you have your life founded on the rock of God's word, if you are hearing and doing God's word, and you are willing and obedient, you are going to be strong in the Lord, and the storms are going to come. The opportunities will be there to fail. But if you will do what God says, if you'll do his word, if you'll put on the armor, if you'll stand in faith, justified by God's word, knowing that you are, your righteousness is in him, you'll be founded, and now the storms won't, they'll beat against you, but they won't knock you down. But, 49, or Luke 6, but he that heareth and doeth not, those of you that hear the word, but you don't do it. Those of you that are too busy to pray. That don't believe you should keep Shabbat. Those of you that hear and don't do it is like a man that has a foundation built a house upon the earth. And against the stream, again, the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. I heard Prophet preaching this sermon out of this scripture, and he says, you know why the fall of that house was great? Do you know why it was great? Because they thought they were standing on the word of God. But they were only listeners. They weren't doers. There are churches full of people who can tell you what God's word says, but they don't do it. And when the storms come, they're the ones who are calling, "Help! Somebody throw out a lifeline to me. It didn't work for me." Because Satan is out to kill, to steal, and destroy. And when you hear and you don't do, you're a sitting duck waiting for Satan to shoot at you. God made a way for us. God made a way for us. But it's our own stubbornness, our own lack of willingness, our own failure to be obedient, that destroys us. And we blame God. Well, I tried that, but it didn't work. That's the problem. Can't just try it. Gotta do it. Gotta do it. Gotta believe that He is. And He is God. You have to believe that He is and that He is God. I think I shared with you earlier this year, God called me out. It was something that I'd been praying for, but I'd been worrying about it. How many of you ever worried about things? God said, "You don't trust me." I'm like, "God, I do too." He said, "You don't trust me." I'm like, "God, where have I not trusted you?" And it began to show me. He said, "You prayed, you believed, and then you worried." And He said, "When you worry, you're in fear, and you don't trust me." You can say, "Ouch, you're old me." Like, "God, forgive me. You're right. I haven't trusted you in that. I haven't trusted. I'm trying, God. But it just keeps coming up, and I keep getting worried about it." He says, "Because you don't trust me. You don't trust me." Wasn't long after that, tornado warning came up. I walked out to the front porch as Prophet had always done, and as I have done for the past 7 years. I walked out on the front porch. I spoke to that storm. I spoke to it, and I commanded it that it would not harm my properties. And I set the angels about my properties. The church at Fairfield, my home here. And I said, "God, I set those angels. There will be no damage in that storm." I walked back into the house and went about my day. The storm came, went around, no damage. The next morning I'm praying. And God said, "You trust me for the storm. I'm like, yeah. He says, you walked out there, you spoke to it, you prayed, you set the angels, and you walked back in the house, and you never had another thought about it, did you? And I'm like, no. And it works. He said, my point. He said, you trust me because you know. He said, but this other area, you don't trust me. He says, do you not think that I am just as capable of taking care of that as I am the storm? You see, when you are believing God and you're standing in faith, you can pray, you can speak the word, you can believe, and you can walk away knowing that God has it in his hands. But it takes knowing God's word. It takes allowing God to be in control to the point that you can trust them. You sit down in a chair in your home. You don't think about, will that chair hold me up? You just sit down in. Some of you plop down in as a wonder they do hold you up. But one time I had a chair that had a weak leg. And you could, if you sit down in it too hard, the leg would give out and it'd throw you on the floor. I was always very gentle about sitting in that chair until we got it totally fixed or got rid of it or whatever. Because I didn't trust it. It failed me in the past. Some of you, that's the way you treat God. Your leg of belief has failed in that area. You let doubt and unbelief and let darkness come in and destroy your faith in God for that thing. You need to get to the point that you can just sit in that chair and know that God's got it in control. Can you do that? God said, you don't trust me. Yes, I do, God. No, you don't. Because you worry about it. And you're in fear about it. What is it you're guilty of not trusting God about? You're going to have to seize the kingdom. You're going to have to apply the word. You're going to have to fix that broken chair leg. Or you have allowed doubt and unbelief to creep in for that particular thing. Father, I know that you've been speaking to hearts today. You've been speaking to hearts. Speaking to hearts, Father. You've been telling them. Put me to remembrance. Let us plead together. I've forgiven your sin. I don't remember it anymore. Be willing and obedient. God made a way. God made a way for me and you to walk this earth in righteousness and holiness so the darkness shakes in their boots. We We had failed. We had failed. Because we hear and we don't do. We think our house is built on the rock and it's built on the sinking sand. And the storms have come. And great has been the fall. Pick yourself up! Seize the kingdom of God! Ask for his forgiveness. Thank you, Father. I pray for those who are listening that they have been encouraged, Father. They've been shown where they don't trust you. They've been shown where they have fell. I pray for them in the mighty name of Yeshua. Yeshabaka, seize the kingdom. Thank you, Lord. I want to thank each of you for tuning in today. I want to encourage you and remind you that with God, all things are possible. Shalom.